101.5 FM proudly presents The Community Kitchen with Annette Long.
And welcome to Community Kitchen. I hope you had a fantastic long weekend. I must say, I think we've had enough now. Let's get back to some productivity. But, of course, we've been talking about food, and, of course, we all acknowledge that the prices are coming up a little bit, and that just means we have to shop a bit wiser, cook a bit wiser, and maybe get a little bit interested in some different ways to use our food. And of course, we've talked about some, I think, some good ideas, getting back to our basics, trying to extend things, thinking about how we can save. And I thought today what we'd do is introduce some really good veg ideas, because they are really such a good fundamental. They extend your food so easily, and of course they're absolutely so tasty and so good for you. But there's a lot of little things we're going to be talking about today. But I thought the first thing, that really nice little humble white sauce. Now, it can be made in so many different ways. You can use a white sauce where you're just using a butter, flour and milk, which of course becomes your bechamel sauce. But, of course, you can also use stocks, and it doesn't matter whether you use a fish stock, a vegetable stock or a chicken stock. That can be the basis of if you've got leftover veggies, or maybe you've got that inevitable chicken that people buy and it seems to get left in the fridge. Once that's pulled apart and either made into a salad, it's a really good basis for a chicken pie or something along those lines. But having that basic white sauce is fantastic, and there's so many different ways. I mean, the good old Mornay, fricassee seems to be a word that's gone out the back door, but also for the kedgeree. And a lot of people, you know, these were foods that we had years ago and they seem to have dropped off. I know we've got very cosmopolitan with our food, but let's not forget there's some fantastic things that we should be eating because they're delicious. And when you think about something like kedgeree, which is a lovely rice dish with boiled eggs and fish, and this is sort of something that you can have for brunch or brekkie, but all you're basically doing is you're going to be cooking rice, basmati rice, in the oven with some lovely curry spices, and you're going to be putting that with fish. We used to always have it with a smoked cod. And it's your choice. You can use salmon or use whatever. But I do think that I used to just love that smoked fish. And, of course, now you can get ocean trout or salmon or any goodies like that. But basically what you're going to do is you're going to boil the eggs until they become hard. And you cook for about 6 minutes for a really good firm egg. And then you wash and refresh those eggs in ice water to stop them cooking. But preheat your oven to about 180, and in a large oven-proof saucepan with a tight-fitting lid over a medium heat, sweat about one-third of some butter, about, you know, a good tablespoon of butter, until it's translucent. Then you're going to add some. Now, you can alter this recipe. I'm giving you the fancy version because this is one I've cooked, which is lovely. Add some pistachio nuts, about a quarter of a cup, some currants, about a tablespoon, and about a tablespoon of curry powder. And then you add about another good spoon of butter and mix to a coat. And add about 1.5 cups of water. And to that, you're going to add 1 cup of basmati rice. Now, remember with basmati rice, one cup of rice to 2 cups of water is the normal absorption. But this one, you're going to sort of change it around a little bit. But so we've got the 1 cup of rice and 1.5 cups of water. Bring that to the boil and then cover with the lid and transfer it to the oven and bake for about 20 minutes. Meanwhile, you're going to make the sauce, and this is the basis of any bechamel sauce, where you are going to use probably about, I always go 1 really good spoon of flour to 1 of butter. So say, for example, if I was going to be making a couple of cups of white sauce, I would be using a couple of good tablespoons of butter and a couple of good tablespoons of plain flour. And you're going to just melt that together. Don't let that boil too much. You don't want the flour to actually cook. You just want it to blend together. So as you heat the butter, then add the flour and then some curry powder. So another little bit of curry powder there, a couple of tablespoons. And heat that over moderate heat, stirring consistently until it looks like soft sand. And then you add your stock. And with this, you're going to use about 320 ml of stock, which is just over a cup, and simmer for about 15 minutes. Always use a whisk. Always keep saying that. And then add about a third of a cup of cream because you want it to have that lovely creamy flavour. Squeeze lemon juice, bit of pepper and salt, and just put that to the side. But by that time, your rice is cooked, so you remove the pan from the oven. And then fork half of the smoked fish, so you've probably got about 500 grams of smoked fish and a little bit of extra butter through the rice, and pile the rice onto a platter, add the remaining fish and the halved eggs on top, of course you've peeled them, and drizzle over some of that beautiful sauce and scatter with the parsley. And that is just lovely. So you've got your beautiful rice, you've got your currants and pistachios. You can use almonds or cashews or whatever you've got, but you just want to have that sweet and nutty flavour. So basically you're ending up with not a dry dish, but not a real wet dish either, because you want to enjoy that lovely steamed rice, the eggs, the sauce and the fish. And that's a fantastic meal. Now, just say, for example, that you had some leftover cooked basmati rice. There's no reason you can't change that around by just re-cooking that in the oven with that little bit of curry powder, just a little bit, and the nuts and the fruit, just to get that nice flavour. I'd do it on top of the stove. And then you can actually start to pile that together. I love it when you've got leftover rice because, of course, then you can go into things like fried rice and also rice salad. And it's a really good stuffing if you've got some lovely mushrooms or capsicum. So never, ever worry about having that extra, because rice is probably one of the more economical things to cook. And it's lovely. It really is good. I found another recipe for a coconut rice. Now, I noticed that a lot of the different restaurants, when you have a look at the online at what's offering, pardon me, you'll notice that there's always this, pineapple rice or coconut rice, and it's a little bit more expensive, but it's not hard to make because all you're basically doing is you're replacing some of the water that you've used with coconut milk. And be aware that some of the coconut milk is a very good quality and very, very thick. Coconut cream, of course, you can dilute that. But once again, you're doing one cup of basmati rice to two cups of coconut milk. And if you're doing a coconut rice, you might want to put in there some mustard seeds, maybe some chickpeas that have been cooked, a few curry leaves just to give it that little bit extra. And it's tasty and it's a great basis for a lunchbox the next day. So don't be afraid of those extra foods that you have. And that always takes me back to thinking about good old mashed potato. And you know, there's a fantastic Irish dish called Colcannon, and it is delicious. And it gives you so much nutrition in there, because not only do you have your mashed potatoes, but you're putting in there spinach, leeks that have been sautéed in butter along with your spinach. You can put kale in there. If you want, you can put bacon. I don't. I just prefer the greens and some cheese, parmesan if you want, or not. But it has to have that butter and it has to be nice and creamy. And it's a great way to if you've got leftover potatoes, to do that. And, of course, that leftover Colcannon can then become a really good potato cake by maybe putting a bit of an egg through there and a little bit of cheese and some breadcrumbs and making those into little potato cakes for another meal. So there's always that really good extension when you're doing different vegetables. I think there's so many good choices. And, of course, when you start to think about all the different soups and stews and casseroles that we're going to be making now that the weather's getting a little bit cooler, there's some fantastic choices. And think about the fact that you have that lovely coconut rice with a good curry or even that kedgeree, as a main meal, it's a fantastic alternative to just something a little bit plain. But I think that when we come back, we're going to talk about some really interesting veggie combinations. And of course, when you think about the kids cooking, how they can really help, there's lots of really good ways, even getting them to peel the vegetables or wash the vegetables, grate the vegetables, and we're going to talk about doing some skewers and goodies in kids' kitchen. So we'll be back very shortly, and of course today we're talking vegetables. It's Community Kitchen and the end of another long weekend.
We'll be right back with more from the Community Kitchen on 101.5 FM.
And welcome back to Community Kitchen. And of course, today we're talking of vegetables. We've just been talking about some great ways just to use some simple items, but just to extend. And I thought on Kids Kitchen today, we'd talk about some skewers. And veggie skewers are absolutely fantastic on the barbecue, or even vegetable stacks. If I'm doing my skewers, of course, I always like to soak those wooden skewer sticks, because if you soak them, you've got less chance of them burning. And but you know, with skewers, it's get creative with the kids. There's so many different combinations, and let them be the ones who sort of shred up, whether it be little tiny tomatoes to capsicum to mushrooms to zucchinis, little bits of cauliflower. You can put some the end stems of your broccolis and that, because barbecued broccoli or broccolini is absolutely delicious. And making up a dressing for that doesn't have to be complicated. Usually what I do, if I'm going to be doing skewers, I used to get a big bowl, put some olive oil in there, some garlic, maybe a bit of rosemary, or if you've got some marjoram or thyme or whatever you've got growing in your garden that's convenient, and put that in there. Just toss the veggies ever so gently with that oil, and then when it cooks on the barbecue, it's so easy. And this is something that the kids can do, and even with your corn, whole corn on the cob is absolutely delicious. And of course, I'm sure that you've had the lovely recipe where you go out and they serve up this fantastic corn with a dressing. Very easy to make. You can do the grated cheese. You can do the different chili sauces. And kids love that. Just try them, because they really do enjoy trying something a little bit different. But with those skewers, there's so many different ways to do them. And if you want to, of course, you can add your protein, meat protein combinations. You can put some tofu on there, and they really are delicious to do that. Also doing a stack where you actually cut equal sizes. And of course, say for example, if you're doing eggplant, it really does need to be cooked well, and it does need oil. I find that really brushing that well and putting that on the barbecue by itself is great. And if you're going to stack that where you've got some lovely eggplant, maybe some char-grilled zucchini, you can do that in really thin slices, some capsicum, some halloumi, and those in a stack are just fantastic. And making up a dressing, once again, it's not hard to make up a bit of a dressing with some olive oil, maybe with some nice basil, or even if you've got a jar of pesto in the fridge, putting that pesto into some olive oil once all those veggies are cooked is a great way to drizzle that over. And number one, it uses up, you know, that leftover pesto. Sometimes you just find that little jar sitting at the back there and you think, oh, I've got a chutney or something. On those stacks of veggies, a little bit of Greek yogurt with some yogurt with some chutney put through that, a little bit of cumin, bit of olive oil, and that becomes a really nice dressing for anything that you want to cook. I always think, just get a bit creative. But also don't forget with kids, the good old fritter recipe, and we always say it's the 1-1-1, one egg, one cup of flour, and one cup of liquid, whether it be almond milk or coconut milk or just regular milk. And you can grate into that veggies, you can cut into that pieces of corn, and they're all the goodies where kids can make those, and they're fantastic for their lunch, and they can actually cook that themselves. So let them get a little bit creative with that. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some bigger ideas with vegetables. And, you know, I love a gratin where you've got those nice veggies that have been cooked in cream and stock. that have been put in the oven, and they're a fantastic side along with a meal or by itself with a salad. It's just fantastic. And once we start to get that cold weather coming in, it's really nice at night to have something nice and warm. So these ideas for the veggies in season are really good, more economical, and lots of fun for the kids to get involved with that. When we come back, we're talking around the family table, and I've got some really nice recipes to share with you. We'll be back soon. Of course, you're with Annette on Community Kitchen.
You're listening to The Community Kitchen with Annette on 101.5 FM.
And welcome back to Community Kitchen. Thinking of the veggies we were just talking about before and doing stacks and doing different skewers and things like that, sometimes you just need that little extra of a kick, or you need a little sauce. And I found this beautiful recipe for a mint coriander sauce. And this is something that you can put in a jar in the fridge, like a pesto. And these things I always think are really invaluable, because if you're coming home and you've just got those couple of items in the fridge and you're thinking, how can I jazz that up a little bit? Just by having those few little jars of things, whether they be a really, really good green curry paste that you've made, or even if you've bought it, just adding to can just make that big difference. And this particular recipe, I found it in this book, and it's actually a book. It's just called The Curry Kitchen, and it's got some really simple little recipes in it. But this mint coriander sauce is a bunch of mint, 2 bunches of fresh coriander, 2 teaspoons of green chili chopped. Now, that's going to give heat, but it dissipates because you've got all that mint and coriander. Spinach leaves, about 8. And once again, that fibre's good. 1 teaspoon of chopped ginger. I find that if I'm doing a sauce like this, I usually grate it because it just gives that a little bit better. And if you've got one of those really good parmesan graters, I'll tell you what, ginger is fantastic with that. 1.5 tablespoons of lemon juice and 3/4 teaspoon of roasted cumin seeds. And when you roast those, I did some on the weekend, they actually give off like almost a little bit of a lemony flavour at the same time, a smell. And it's just beautiful. As you know, if you've listened to my show before, I just love cumin. I think it is just such a good spice to work with. 10 almonds. Now, this is like the romesco, you know, where you use your tomatoes and almonds and that, and it just gives them that little bit of a bulk. Some salt and 1 teaspoon of sugar and about 160 ml of water. And all you're doing really is just putting it all together and just giving a really good grinder. But I would be getting my roast cumin seeds and give that a really good grind in the mortar pestle if you have it, because I find that that just breaks it down. It just is so much nicer. So a bunch of mint, 2 bunches of fresh coriander, 2 teaspoons of green chilies chopped, 8 spinach leaves, 1 teaspoon of chopped ginger or grated, 1.5 tablespoons of lemon juice, 3 quarters of a teaspoon, of roasted cumin seeds, 10 almonds. And now if it were me, if I had the time, I would actually put those almonds in the roast, because I think they just give that little bit of extra flavour. And, of course, some salt and a bit of sugar and 160 ml of water. Now, that to me would be beautiful on fish. It'd be just lovely on veggies. It'd be fantastic stirred through rice if you were doing a dish. It'd be a nice side to any dish. And, of course, endless. It's just one of those things that you could use with lots of different dishes. But thinking of all the warm dishes that we're coming up against, and I found this recipe. I bought this great book, and I know I have shared recipes with you, but it's called Real Food, and it's written by an English guy, and it's seasonal whole food recipes for well-being. And he talks about the warmth, it's autumn, and he's talking about the veggies for winter. And this particular one is a sweet potato and red cabbage gratin. Now, I never thought about doing that combination, and what he does is he braises the red cabbage first to actually get that down a little bit. So he puts it in a colander, sprinkles it with a bit of salt, and he leaves it for an hour. Then he rinses the cabbage, and then he cooks that cabbage in a bit of butter And he adds caraway seeds, cloves, juniper berries, bay leaves, and sweats until the onion is translucent. And that would be, I love juniper berries. I don't use them very often. I've got this one German dish that I make that I use juniper berries. I should use it more often. And caraway seeds, they're always lovely with potatoes and cabbages. Don't be afraid to throw a few in there. They are a very beautiful flavour. And, of course, we like cloves. But once you've actually got that that cabbage cooking, you're just sweating that until the onion is translucent. And, of course, that cabbage is going to drop in size. Add a little bit of wine if you want and some apple juice. And then you cover with baking paper and transfer for the oven and bake for about an hour. Now, he's using one whole red cabbage there, about 125 grams of brown onions, 5 grams of caraway seeds, 4 cloves, 2 grams of juniper berries, 2 bay leaves, a cup of red wine, 100 ml of apple juice, and that's his flavour. But the thing is, he grates some potatoes into that too, about 100 grams, and before he puts that in the oven. And what that does, it just thickens that mixture up a little bit. And I know it sounds a bit of work, but if you think about how nice that would be with a lovely piece of pork belly maybe, or some grilled pork chops or a roast, I think it would be lovely with poultry, roast poultry. Sometimes it's just worth that effort, making that little bit extra, and make two and put one in an alfoil dish and throw it in the freezer, and then you've got it done. But when that is done, cook that for about 50 minutes, you transfer the oven and bake for an hour, and then you add the potato and cook for another 30 minutes, and that'll actually give it that creamy texture. You remove it from the oven and you stir in about 50 grams of honey, seasoned with black pepper. But then what you're going to do is that because you're going to put some sweet potato with that, you can understand that that sweetness from the honey will add to that. So he uses 2 large sweet potatoes, peeled and cut into really thick discs. And also in the recipe, it calls for 600 ml of pouring cream and some nutmeg. And do yourself a favour and buy some fresh nutmeg. It's a bit of a hard thing to grate, but once again, I use my Parmesan and cheese grater, and I don't have a nutmeg grater. I don't think there's any difference really. And I use that, and oh, it just gives that beautiful flavour. So just going back over that, because I was a bit all over the place with that particular recipe, but for the red cabbage, you are putting the cabbage in the colander, sprinkling a tablespoon of salt and leave for an hour, then you rinse it. Then you melt either, he uses duck fat, but you can use butter or whatever, in a large frying pan. Add the onions, caraway seeds, cloves, juniper berries and bay leaves and sweat until the onion is translucent. Add the cabbage, some wine, 1 cup, 100 ml of apple juice to the pan. Cover with baking paper. Transfer to the oven and bake for 1 hour until most of the liquid has evaporated, 160 degrees. Add the grated potato, 100 gram, and cook for a further 30 minutes, and that will give a creamy texture. Remove, stir in some honey, 50 gram, and then season. Stir through some butter through the hot cabbage mix and increase the oven temperature to 180. Then what you're going to do is you're going to move that braised cabbage into the pan that you want to put into the oven. Place the discs of sweet potato on top. Pour the cream over slowly so it works its way into the cabbage. Grate some of the nutmeg and season and bake for 30 minutes until golden and bubbling. And he uses a fry pan. And if you don't have a fry pan that you can take from the top of the stove to the oven, put it on your Mother's Day list or your Father's Day list, because it is such a handy thing to have. And, of course, you've got a one-pan cook. So if you want to, say, do some schnitzels, or you want to do, you know, something like that, and you want to start them off on top and then put them in the oven, it's good to have a pan like that. The picture looks fantastic. One day we will have ability to be able to show the pictures of some of these great little things that we suggest. But thinking of the actual flavours of that, that would be just beautiful. Now, another dish he also suggests, which is I think is just absolutely beautiful, and I know that it is popular now, but a whole baked cauliflower. And this is something that you can do your hot cauliflower steaks or whatever, because it just sits so nicely and it's such a beautiful flavour. But this particular one, he actually once again puts that in a brine and he leaves it overnight, and I think that just helps to cook it a little bit. And then he also does an interesting thing. He makes some tea, some Darjeeling tea, English guy, of course, and he puts the raisins in there and it infuses it and makes them really plump. But you don't have to do that. You can do orange juice, you can do your Bushel's tea, or you can do your Earl Grey, whatever. But what it does is it just plumps those little currants up and just makes them a little bit more interesting, because this has got a little bit of a curry flavour to it. And of course, with that, you're going to be using fennel seeds, cumin seeds, black mustard seeds, some Indian spice, lime juice, and a little bit of curry oil if you have it. Doesn't matter if you don't. Even a bit of just chili oil would help that along. But after you brine that cauliflower, of course, you drain it. The next day, you take the cauliflower from the brine, pat it dry, preheat the oven to about 180, and line a heavy base roasting dish with baking paper. Place the cauliflower in the tin, cut side down so it sits upright, and pour from the tea from the raisins over the cauliflower so it hydrates the vegetable and forms a puddle. And melt some clarified butter in a frying pan. When it starts to warm up, add the fennel seeds, cumin seeds, mustard seeds. And we're talking here about a teaspoon of each. And you're going to cook for about 1 minute. And that's till they start popping and they have a beautiful smell. Brush the butter and the seed mixture over the cauliflower. Dust it with the spice. Cover the tin with aluminium foil and bake it in the oven and bake for about 30 minutes. Remove the foil and baste the cauliflower with more butter and a bit of tea liquid and bake for another 30 minutes. And after the cauliflower has been cooked for about an hour, just make sure it's tender, remove it and rest it in the tin for about 15 minutes. Squeeze the lime juice into the baking tin. And if you're going to do a yogurt dressing, what they suggest is some freshly grated ginger, a crushed garlic clove, a handful of mint leaves, and some yogurt. I would use our fantastic mint coriander sauce. I think that would be really nice. Sprinkle the lovely raisins over it, and it would just be such a nice meal. Now, that leftover, of course, can then become a cauliflower and gratin. You know, there's so many different ways that you can recycle, for want of a better word, a lot of these different veggies and meals we have with our rice, our boiled eggs. If you've got extra, you can put them down the middle of your meatloaf just to plump that out a little bit. Pop them in the lunchbox. There's lots of different ways to use that food. And as we often say here on Community Kitchen, utilise your cooking time so that it actually preempts you for the next meal. Hope you enjoy our cooking show. And, of course, I'll be back with you next week on Community Kitchen. Enjoy cooking. Keep cooking. And thanks for joining our show.